Well, good evening, everyone. My name's Nathan. I'm one of the pastors here. We're going to get that powerful word that we've been singing about open now. Deuteronomy chapter 31 this evening. If you haven't brought a Bible with you, please just put a hand up, and one of our welcome team would love to bring you one over. There's a couple over here, if that's okay. Deuteronomy 31, which you'll find on page 209. Just to explain that we're going to do things a bit differently tonight, we're going to hear God's word now in the service, and we're going to preach now, we're going to have it preached to us, and then we're going to spend some time responding in prayer and in song afterwards, and so we're going to get stuck into God's word this evening. Deuteronomy 31, we're going to pick it up at verse 9, just to reset the scene, because Deuteronomy is a kind of a story behind it. So Deuteronomy, but hopefully by now you've got this. Deuteronomy is three sermons of Moses. Moses is preaching his heart out to this people. Actually, we're just moments away in the book, at least, from Moses climbing up a mountain and dying. He's about to leave this people, and he preaches his heart out to them, and he is exhorting them to love the Lord who has first loved them. That's what this book is. It's full of details. It's full of laws, but if you strip it back, it is just Moses saying, look, the Lord has loved you. He has been gracious to you. He's rescued you out of Egypt, and this is how you love him back. This is how you follow him. And we hit these last few chapters. We've got three Sunday evenings left. And then tonight we're going to see, well, Moses' mind starts to turn to, well, what happens after the sermon? What happens on Monday morning? What happens when they go back to their tents? What happens 1 year, 2 years down the line? How are these people going to keep going? So that's what we're picking up. Deuteronomy 31 and verse 9. So Moses wrote down this law and gave it to the Levitical priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and to all the elders of Israel. Then Moses commanded them, at the end of every 7 years, in the year for cancelling debts, during the Festival of Tabernacles, when all Israel comes together to appear before the Lord, your God, at the place he will choose, you shall read this law before them in their hearing. Assemble the people, men, women, and children, and the foreigners residing in your towns, so that they can listen and learn to fear the Lord your God and follow carefully all the words of this law. Their children, who do not know this law, must hear it and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land you are crossing the Jordan to possess. This is God's word to us tonight. Let's pray and let's have a think about these words of Moses together. Father, we have just sung tonight that your word is powerful. Father, it is your word that brought this world in which we live into being, this universe of which we are just a small part, into existence. Father, it is your word that has transformed our lives as it has proclaimed Jesus to us. And Father, on a Sunday night like this, we ask that as we feed on this portion of your word, that it would change our hearts, it would change our thinking, it would renew our minds, and that we'd leave here tonight genuinely saying, we've been changed by your powerful word. Father, help us please. Give us attentiveness where our minds are on the things of this week. Would you help us to just focus in on what you say? And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know if you've ever sat around a campfire. Anyone done that here? Or sat around a fire? Maybe it's a fire pit in your garden or an open fire in your house, if you have such a thing. And you'll know the experience. Perhaps you're sitting around slightly hypnotized by the flames and they're glowing brightly. It all starts off well. And then over time, the flames kind of die down a bit. And you need to do something, don't you, to get the flames to roar back up. You need to get them to burn brightly again. So what do? It's good. Add wood. Thank you. Whoever said that? You add some more wood. You chuck another log on the fire, and these flames that were beginning to grow a little bit dim, they start to burst into life and to flame, and they glow brightly again, and they burn high. Now, the reason I start there is that I want us to think about a question tonight from this part of Deuteronomy. The question I want us to think about is, how do we keep the flames of our love and our loyalty to the Lord, to Jesus, alive? How do we keep them burning brightly in our lives? Not just in our own lives personally, but in our together life as a church. How do we keep the flames of loving Jesus, who first loved us, alive this evening? What wood can we throw on the fire to keep that love burning brightly? I don't know, maybe you've come to church tonight, and actually, truthfully, you just feel like maybe your love has just grown a bit dim, and you come to church because you know it's the right thing to do, and you have to, but maybe your love for him, your loyalty to him, just feels a little bit like the fire that's beginning to go out. What can you do? What can you do to reignite that love and that loyalty that Moses is so passionately exhorting the people to in this book? We see that's where Moses' mind turns as he begins to kind of end his preaching, as he begins to wrap up these three sermons, as he begins to kind of pack up and say, right, we're going to head off. And actually, Moses is about to die. He's about to climb a mountain and he's about to go and be with the Lord. As his mind turns to that, he starts to think, well, how is this people that I'm preaching to, this people that the Lord has loved and rescued, how is their love going to keep going beyond just this sermon? It's very easy to get passionate, isn't it, once you're preached to. Yes, we're going to love the Lord, but by Wednesday we're like, whoa, you know, it's all a bit tough, isn't it? So how do you keep going beyond a week, 2 weeks? As Moses' mind turns to 1 year, 2 years, 10 years down the line, how are these people that he's preaching to going to keep those flames of love for the Lord alive? How do we do that? Well, this is what I want to show you tonight. Just part of what Moses says is this. It's very simple, but he would say, if I can get this thing working, give us a second. There we go. He would say this: gather together to read God's word. It's not deeply profound, is it? You think, well, that's what we do every week, Nathan. Didn't need someone to tell us that. But actually, that's what Moses says all the way back in the past, all the way back these years and years to the people of God. What does he say? Gather together and read God's word. That's what he says. So just look at the process with me. Verse 9. So Moses, so he's preached his heart out. He's preached his socks off. He's exhorted this people to love the Lord. He's given them all the details to do it. And what does he say? Well, what does he do, rather, sorry? He writes it down. Did you notice that? So Moses wrote down this law, and then he gives it to the leaders. He preserves this. This law is the book of Deuteronomy, because you'll notice it says this law. It's a very specific thing. This law, he preserves it. He writes it down so that the people have got it beyond him. And then, what does he do? Well, he gives it to the leaders. Look at how verse 9 carries on. He gave it to the Levitical priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and to the elders of Israel. If I could wrap it up in a bit of New Testament language, he entrusted it to reliable men who would then pass it on to others. So he writes it down, he entrusts it to leaders, and then what does he do? Look what he does. Look at verse 10 and 11. He says to them, then Moses commanded them at the end of every 7 years, in the year for cancelling debts, during the festival of tabernacles, when all Israel comes to appear before the Lord your God at the place he will choose, you shall read this law before them in their hearing. What does he charge them to do? He writes it down, he entrusts it to them, and he says, make sure you read it. Make sure the people of God hear it read. As Moses looks beyond his own life, as he looks beyond the time that he is personally going to stand in front of them and preach to them, he leaves them with his written down words. So that, well, actually they're God's words because God gave them to Moses. So it's written down words, and he says that these should remain a regular part of the life of this people, to have them read and to have them listened to. Now, before some of you start joining the dots and getting all excited and think, yes, we only have to have a sermon every 7 years, I want to remind you that actually Moses, as we've gone through Deuteronomy, says that you've got to work the word into every day of your life. The 7 years thing, we'll come and think about that in a minute. But he's saying you should be talking about this law, God's words, when you sit at home and when you walk down the road and when you're walking and you see stuff, you should talk about it and you should tie it to your foreheads and on your door frames. And it should be just part of life. They should be creative in the ways that the word of God dwells among them. But here, Moses is talking about their together life. You notice that? Look at what he says in verse 12. Assemble the people. When the people of God gather together. Do you know the word for church? Do you know what it means? It just means gathering. It's a Greek word, ekklesia, that just means the gathering of God's people. So when the people who have been saved by God and loved by God get together, what should they do? They should read the Bible. They should read the word of God. Friends, learning to love the one who first loved us, learning to keep those flames of love for him alive, will mean, according to Moses, that the people of God gather together and we read the Bible. We have the law read to us. Now, you may think, well, that's not rocket science. That's what the church has been doing ever since. Exactly. That is what the people of God should do to keep the flames of love alive. That is absolutely true for us as the modern day people of God. As we gather together, we are to read God's word. And as you read the pages of the New Testament, it is actually meant to be the leaders of God's people who make sure that happens. And so if the leaders of this local church, me included and the rest of the elders included, if we ever drift from keeping that central, you come and say to us, but that's not what you're meant to do. The leaders of a local church should make sure that the word of God stays at the center of church life, the center of our gathering, reading it to you, so that together we can learn to love and keep those flames alive. Paul says to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4 verse 13, he says, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture. Have you ever heard that verse? That's what he tells Timothy to do. Read the word. When the people gather, read it out loud. Paul says to the Colossian church, let the word of Christ dwell among you richly. Why? Because we need to have the Bible read to us, the words of God read to us. You see, there is a place for the people of God of all ages and all stages. Did you notice that? Verse 12. Who does they gather together? Who does he want to hear this? Assemble the people, men, women, and children. That literally in the original is little ones, the little ones, and the foreigners residing among you, that's kind of the interested people who are kind of hanging around the community, gather everyone together to hear it. And the same has to be true today. There has to be a place for people of all ages and stages and just the interested who are hanging around our community. And boys and girls, we're delighted that you guys come on Sundays as well, because actually it's so important that we all gather together to hear the words of God read to us. Isn't that church? That's what church should be. Now, here's the thing. Why does he want them to keep the reading of the Bible at the center of their church life? How is that the way that their love and their loyalty, the flames of that love, will stay alive from generation to generation, 1 year, 2 years, 10 years down the line? How will it keep your love, friends, for the Lord alive, your loyalty to him alive? Well, the first thing I want us to see is this. Because as we read the Bible, we gather together to read it. It is the way that we learn to fear the Lord. Look at verse 12. Assemble the people, men, women, and children, and the foreigners residing in your towns, so that they can listen and learn to fear the Lord your God. Forgive me, I think I've told you this before, but on one holiday, as a family we went on, Ethan and I went to see a nuclear power station. Now, I know that doesn't sound like a great fun thing for everybody else, but we had a good time going to see this nuclear power station. But before they would let us in to the nuclear power station, they took us kind of into this secure room, and they gave us training and made us watch lots of videos on how dangerous a place this was to be. Now, apart from walking out of those training sessions thinking, if I touch anything, I'm going to come out with two heads or something. The whole purpose of those training sessions was that we might fear the kit that we were going to see, that we might realize kind of how big and powerful and how dangerous some of the stuff is. We were learning to fear the place we were about to walk into, to treat it properly. And the law, the words of God, as they are read, are meant to have the same impact on God's people. As the law of Moses is read, actually it reveals God to people. The written down law, you see, is more than just a list of commands. We've seen that as we've gone through, haven't we? God's law, God's word, is not just a list of do's and don'ts. It contains stories of grace, of rescue. It contains stories of God's sustaining help, of his mercy in the face of rebellion. It contains stories of forgiveness. It contains stories of his power and his discipline and his punishment for those who ignore him. It's a word that, as it is read, teaches us to fear God, to know him and to treat him properly. As the word reveals God to us, it should lead us to worship God. That's what that word fear means. It does actually mean to be afraid of God, because we should be. He's powerful, he's just, he's pure. We should be afraid of him. But it also means to reverence him, to worship him. Now, I want you to notice as well, look what Moses says in verse 12, so that they can listen and learn. Oh, that's a really encouraging word, isn't it? Learning is something, an ongoing process, isn't it? And as we learn to fear God, it's not something that happens like that. You know, you don't become a Christian and everything's sorted. No, you learn, you grow in your fear of God, your knowing God, of your worship of God. And gathering together to read the Bible, as familiar as it is to many of us in this room, is the way that the people of God learn to fear the Lord. And that is exactly the same as it was for them as it is for us today. You see, 1 Timothy 3, verse 15. Let me just use this verse as an example. Paul tells Timothy, he reminds him that from infancy, from these guys' age, some of the youngest ones we've got here today, from this age, they have known the scriptures, which make them wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. That the read law didn't just give Timothy a way to know what's right and wrong. They first of all led Timothy to fear Jesus, to fear the Savior, to put him in his right place. The scriptures are not just a list of commands. They are a revelation of God that should lead us to fear him and to know him and to love him and to worship him. And I think that is true, whether that is for the first time or whether that's for the 100th time that we've sat here. The scriptures, as they are read, are meant to lead us to fear the Lord. You see, how would the foreigners residing among the people of God ever learn about the Lord who'd rescued them from Egypt? How would they ever learn what the Lord is like? How would they ever know this Lord unless someone had read the law to them? And friends, how is it that people in our town, people who gather with us, how is it that you ever discovered who Jesus was? It says the law, the word of God, is read to us. And so if tonight your fear of the Lord, your knowing of him, your worship of him is beginning to grow a little bit dim, then get into the word. Get into the places where the people of God assemble so that the word can be read to you. It's the way we learn to know him and to fear him. It keeps the flames alive. You still with me? So that's the first reason he says keep reading the word. Second reason is this. It's how we learn to follow God. So look again at verse 12. Look how he goes on. So, you know, assemble the people, read the law, so that they can listen and learn to fear the Lord your God and follow carefully all the words of this law. They were to read it so that they could learn to follow what God had commanded them to do. A friend of mine is a driving examiner. And it's a terrifying thing when he gets in the car with me. As you can imagine, it makes me very self-conscious when I'm driving. And it's amazing how quickly we pick up bad habits. Those of us who drive, I suspect it was only a few drives without an instructor in the car, and we were picking up bad habits all over the place. But believe me, when you have an examiner in the car with you, they like to point out your bad habits. And one journey, I got in a car with him, and when we got to the end of the journey, he said, "Do you want me to tell you everything you just did wrong?" And I was like, "Not really, no." But we talked about it for a while, and then it's very interesting because I overcame my self-consciousness, and every time we had a car journey together, I'd use it as an opportunity to say, "So what am I doing wrong today?" And we'd move along, and with every journey we had, I'd be reminded of the way that we were taught to drive, the way that we should drive in our country. And I want to say to you tonight that it's the same as followers of Jesus. You see, as we gather together and we read the Word of God, we read the instructions on how, as it were, we should follow God and love the one who first loved us, it's like sitting in the car with an examiner, pointing out to us the things that we should be doing, the things that we're doing wrong. The Word teaches us how to drive properly and carry on driving properly. As the Word is read to us, as it is taught to us, it teaches us what it looks like to carefully follow the commands of God. Gathering to read the law for this ancient people of God was a reminder for them of the Ten Commandments. It was a reminder for them of how they were to worship God, where they were to worship God. It was a reminder to them of how they were to treat one another and love one another. And in a similar way, the Bible is the same for us as we gather to read it. So those verses I just told you from Timothy about making us wise for salvation, most of you will know how they carry on. It says, "For all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching and rebuking and correcting and training in righteousness." Friends, we will never learn how to follow the Lord if we do not stop to listen to the Lord through His Word. And that is why gathering together to read the Scripture is so important. Jesus instructed his followers to go and make disciples. There it is, it's on the wall. "Go and make disciples, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." And where are those commands? As you sit here in 2019, where are those commands? Well, they are written down for us. They are preserved for us. And we gather every week to listen to them taught to us. Gathering to read the Word is one of the ways that we learn to follow the Lord Jesus carefully. And I want to just point out something from this this story, this part of Deuteronomy, which I hope becomes really important to us. And I want you to notice that even Moses here, as he commands the law to be read, as he commands the commands to be read, they always come in the context of grace. I want you to notice that, okay? It's not just Moses or somebody standing up every 7 years going, "You must do this and you must do that, and if you don't do this, you'll be in big trouble, and if you do that, that is what you must do." No, the reading of the law, the reading of the instructions always comes in the setting of grace. Have a look with me at verse 10. When did Moses command them to read this law? Have a look very carefully. When did he command them to read it? You see verse 10? "At the end of every 7 years, in the year for cancelling debts, and during the festival of tabernacles." The year of cancelling debts was the year, every 7 years they had this practice. We didn't actually get to look at this in Deuteronomy, but every 7 years they had this practice of cancelling one another's debts. What a glorious thing. What a great idea. And they were told not to abuse it as well, by the way. So just use it as a credit card that gets cleared every 7 years. But hey, here's the thing. It was an occasion in the life of God's people where they were reminded of God's kindness to them, of his cancelling of their debts. The Festival of Tabernacles. I'm sure you're all familiar with that. But the Festival of Tabernacles, that's a joke, by the way. The Festival of Tabernacles was a festival where they would celebrate the ingathering of the harvest. They would celebrate, "Wow, God's been kind to us. The food has grown for another year. Hasn't God been good to us?" And so at the year of cancelling debts, wow, isn't God kind? At the gathering in of the harvest, wow, isn't God generous? Moses then says, and when you're remembering and celebrating how good God is, just remind them how they should follow me. It's always the instructions of God to us, the commands that he calls us to live by, are always set in the context of grace. And that's why, friends, as church, we should always set the instructions for us following Jesus in the context of his cross and his resurrection. We should always interpret the scriptures, the commands of scriptures, through the lens of Jesus dying in our place, of showing us extraordinary kindness and mercy. It is not our obedience that gets us to heaven, it is Jesus. It is what Jesus did, and it is in the context of his generosity that he says, now come follow me. I give you everything you need to come follow me. See, the scriptures, you see, make us wise for salvation first, and then they teach us how to live. And we've got to get it that way round. But that said, we've got to read the scriptures because it's the only way that we'll learn to follow the Lord who first loved us. Friends, are you growing in your obedience? Are you growing in your obedience to the Lord Jesus who loved us and gave himself for us? Are the flames of your obedience roaring brightly, or are they just a glim flicker? The only way we will learn to follow the Lord is as we learn to listen, gather together and listen to his words. The third reason he gives us as a church, as his people, to listen to the word, to gather together and read it is this. It is simply, it's how our kids will learn to do the same. And what I mean by our kids is the church family's children. It's how the next generation are going to learn to do the same. Look at verse 13. Their children. Now, bear in mind that their children there is the children of everyone who's gathered. So the men, the women, and the little ones, and the foreigners residing among you, that group, their children, so that's another generation away, their children, look what he says, who do not know this law. So at this precise moment, they don't know it. Their children must hear it and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land you are crossing the Jordan to possess. See, Moses' mind doesn't just turn to what happens when I walk away and I go up this mountain and I die. It turns to the next generation. How are the flames of love for the Lord going to burn brightly when some of us have been taken home to the Lord Jesus? How are the flames of Enfield Town Community Church going to keep roaring, hopefully, over years to come? Well, as the word is read to the next generation, as they keep hearing this law, as they keep assembling to listen to it, he says very strongly, they must hear it. Did you notice that? They must hear it. My dad at the moment is on a mission, okay? He's on a very serious mission, which is that he wants to teach my kids how to use tools. He thinks it's a lost generation. You know, they're very good at this, and on a games console or on a mobile phone, but they're not so good at this or this or this. Well, they're very good at that, actually. But that's the thing. He's on a mission to pass down this skill set, which was so part of his generation, down to them. And so when they go around to my dad's house, he pulls them into the workshop, and he makes them build things, which is great. But he's on a mission to pass on some skills to the next generation so that they remember how to do stuff. And in a similar way, do you know what Moses says to the people of God? He says, you've got to pull them into the workshop of God's word. You've got to get them there. You've got to get them under the word, listening to the word, learning to fear the Lord, learning to follow him. It's the way that the next generation, including the ones that are sitting here, will be made wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. It is the way that they will learn to follow the Lord wherever he puts them, in whatever context, in whatever shape our country is in. It is the way that they will learn to fear the Lord and to follow him. And Moses says, pull them into the workshop. They've got to hear the word. It's a temptation, isn't it, to think sometimes that, oh, you know, we shouldn't give too much Bible to our children. We don't want to put them off. Well, Moses wouldn't say that. He'd say, gather them together with you and make sure that they hear the Bible. See, I wonder, do we have that kind of confidence in the Bible for the next generation? Do we have that kind of confidence that doing what we do, you know, so, oh, Nathan, can't we just mix it up a bit? You know, church, we do the same thing every week. We gather, we sing a few songs, we read the Bible, and then you explain it for a bit, and then we sing some more songs, and then we go home. Can't we do something different? No. Because gathering to read the Word is God's instruction for His people so that the flames of love for the Lord can start to glow brightly, not just in this generation, not just in the kids' generation, but in the generation that follows us. This is the pattern. This is how the flames of love stay alive. Read the Word of the Lord. So friends, will we commit ourselves afresh tonight to this pattern? To gather together, to fear the Lord, to follow the Lord as we read His Word together? And if your flames personally are growing dim, then actually let's be committed to gathering together. Let's be in the places where God's Word is read. And actually, as we go on in the Bible, you'll see that this command is lived out in books like Nehemiah and Kings, and it's explained to the people as well. That is how people will learn to love and to fear and to follow the Lord our God. Friends, we're just going to take a moment's quiet for a few seconds just to process some of that. We're going to have a chance to respond in a moment. Let's take a moment's quiet, and then we're going to sing a song about God's Word and about the Lord Jesus, and then we'll respond in prayer.